Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
As long as a man persists in thinking that he is basically good, or that he can somehow do something to earn God's favor, he will remain condemned. This is vital stuff. Justification is for the ungodly. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, in a message titled, Justified by Faith. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
How was Abraham saved? Was Abraham saved by adherence to the law? Of course, this would present an immediate problem because the law was not given until 400 years after Abraham's time. So, what then shall we say that Abraham, our father, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Abraham had nothing to boast about before God because Abraham didn't attempt to justify himself by works. And look what Paul says in verse 3. For what does the Scripture say? What does the Scripture say? Let me take just a little diversion there for a second. This is the question that we always need to ask. Whenever we're uncertain about something, whenever we're wanting to know what the truth is about a matter that pertains to spiritual life or moral life and things of that nature, we've always got to come back to this. What does the Scripture say? That's the question. We always want to take it back to the Bible. Scripture is for the Christian the final court of appeal. Now, I think probably mostly everybody listening to me understands that and agrees with that. But, you know, sadly, that's not the case. For many in the Christian world, Scripture is not the final court of appeal. They would appeal, in some cases, to tradition. In other cases, they would appeal to church dogma. Some would appeal to catechisms or the declaration of councils. And I'm not dismissing catechisms or the declaration of councils out of hand. All I'm saying is that that's not the final place of authority. Sometimes when I'm reading different systematic theologies or something like that, they will be appealing to different catechisms or confessions. They will be appealing maybe to the Westminster Confession that was a document that came out of the Reformation, or the Heidelberg Catechism or something like that. And these documents have value, and they contain some good things in as much as they're in harmony with the Scripture. But, you know, at the end of the day, we don't appeal to that. We don't appeal to the writings of the church fathers. We don't appeal ultimately to the writings of the reformers. We go back to the Scripture. That is where we ultimately look to for the truth. And that's what Paul does here. What does the Scripture say? The Pharisees had their opinions, the rabbis had their traditions and their ideas, but Paul is asking this all-important question, what do the Scriptures say? What did they say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's what the Scripture said. See, they had developed a theory, like I said, that Abraham was saved through the law. The Jews became so obsessive over the Torah that they actually surmised and went beyond surmising. They were very dogmatic about it, that Abraham kept the Torah himself, even though it didn't exist at his time. But they would insist that it did exist in some form, even though Moses would not come for 400 years. They would become so fanatical about it that they would say that God spent eternity past in the study of the Torah. Now, that was convenient to help support their position because that's what they did. So in their view, God was just an eternal rabbi. He just spent all of eternity studying the Torah. So one of the things that would be at issue here would be the authority of Scripture over the authority of oral tradition. The Jews were hugely into oral tradition, the traditions of the fathers. But you see, Paul dismisses that, just as Jesus did. Jesus dismissed the traditions of the fathers. You remember they would come to Jesus on occasion and they would criticize him or they would criticize his disciples because they were not keeping the tradition of the elders. And Jesus just dismissed those traditions. He referred to them as the doctrines and the commandments of men. And he did not see them binding in the least. And you would have thought that the church would have learned the lesson not to enshrine the opinions of men and elevate the opinions of men to a place of equality with the Word of God. But sadly, you can find numerous cases throughout church history where they've done exactly what the Jews did. They've put tradition on the same level as the Scriptures. Paul sees the Scripture as the ultimate authority. What does the Scripture say? The Scripture says that Abraham believed God. That's the key word. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. How was Abraham declared to be a righteous man before God? By the works of the law? No. By simple faith. He believed God. Genesis 15:6, Paul is quoting from Genesis 15:6. And there we have God declaring to Abraham what he's going to do. And the text simply tells us that Abraham believed God. God said, this is what I'm going to do. Look up at the sky. Look at the stars. I'm going to make your descendants like the stars in multitude, like the sand on the seashore. And God is giving to Abraham this messianic promise. And Abraham says, I believe you, Lord. And the Scripture declares Abraham was righteous. That's how he gained his righteous standing before God. Now, he says in verse 4, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace or as a gift, but as a debt. So we all know this by common experience. If you work, then you receive a wage that is indebted to you because of the work you've done. It's not a gift to you. You've earned it. So to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. The idea that you could mingle faith and works together is something that the Bible completely rejects. These two things in regard to justification, in regard to how a man is made right before God, they're mutually exclusive. They cancel one another out. Paul will say later in this epistle, essentially he will either say, it's all of grace or it's nothing. It's got to be one or the other. It's got to be all grace or it's got to be all works. But you can't blend the two together.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Now, of course, Paul was insisting on grace. Some of the Jews themselves would be insisting on works, but there would be those in the middle that would be trying to bring them together. And there's still confusion even in the church today amongst some people. There seems to even be contradictory statements in the New Testament about this whole thing of whether a man's saved by grace alone, through faith alone, or whether works has a part of it. And we'll get to that in our next study. One of the big questions that people so often ask is, well, what about what James said? We know Paul is saying here that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. But what about James, who comes right out and says, so we see that a man is justified by works and not just by faith. I mean, wow, doesn't that sound like a contradiction? It sounds like a contradiction, but I promise you it's not. And we'll see why, but we'll see that next week. But I got all excited thinking about it today, so. Because there is just a clear and a beautiful explanation, and it's kind of sad, really, that there's been such a controversy over it. And some people have just flat out felt that, well, you know, here is a contradiction in the Bible. But it's easily resolved when you really look closely at it and see what's going on. But let's carry on in the reading here. So, coming to verse 5, if you haven't underlined anything yet in chapter 4, underline verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. So first it's Abraham, the father of the nation. Now Paul is referring to David, the great king of Israel, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart. How was David justified? Was David justified by this keeping of the law? No, David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. And he's referring here to the 32nd Psalm. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So in Abraham's case, there was no law for him to be justified by. In David's case, there was a law, but he broke it. In David's case, he couldn't be justified by the law because he violated it. He violated it severely. So was there any other alternative? Was there any other possibility of salvation for David because he had violated the law? Yes, there was. What was it? Blessed is the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Now, there are four things that I want to look at concerning the justified man. And they are declared right here in verses 5 and 6. Four things concerning the justified man. And remember, the justified man is the man or the woman who is declared righteous before God. Remember that. We talked about that previously. Declared righteous before God. God acting in the role of the judge. These are legal terms, remember. And God is declaring us righteous. Doesn't mean we are righteous. It is a declaration from the judgment seat by the judge himself that we are righteous. But here we're told four things about the person who is justified by faith. Number one, notice this. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. The ungodly. The word could be translated the wicked as well. So the first thing that we need to understand is that God justifies the wicked. He justifies the ungodly. This is the point that we need to understand. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. As long as a man persists in thinking that he is basically good, or that he can somehow do something to earn God's favor, he will remain condemned. This is vital stuff. Justification is for the ungodly. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. You see, in order for a person to be saved, we have to come to the end of our own attempts to save ourselves. We've got to come to the place of full realization that I am lost, with no possible means of restoring myself to favor with God. And until a person comes to that place, they'll never be justified. Because until I come to that place, there's always somewhere in me some belief that I can do it myself. And lest you think that that's a minor sort of an infraction, it is, it's a denial of everything God has clearly said. So when we refuse to accept our own ungodliness, we're essentially saying, God, you're wrong about me. I am better than you think. I'm actually good, and your word concerning me is false. That's what we're ultimately declaring. And we're also, even beyond that, declaring that the sacrifice of Christ was unnecessary because I could save myself. So you see, these are serious offenses with God. This isn't stuff that's just, you know, sort of a minor misunderstanding. This is the type of thing that keeps a person outside of that position of being justified. So if we have not come to Christ as hopeless sinners, seeing our absolute inability to do anything to merit our salvation, we have yet to be justified. There are lots of people that are devoutly religious people, that are faithful churchgoers, that are faithful tithers, that are full of good works, that are not justified. They're still in their sins. Why? Because they see themselves as basically good. And therefore, if anything at all, Jesus might help them get to heaven, but he certainly isn't totally necessary. He might contribute a little bit, but it's just a little bit because they've got quite a bit of their own goodness. So the justified person is a person who recognizes their ungodliness. The second thing that we see concerning the justified person is that they do not work for their justification. And I love this right here. I mean, this to me, Romans 4:5 is the irrefutable argument against any kind of a works righteousness. You can't say it any more forcefully than Paul says it right here. But to him who does not work, that's it. Him who does not work. Now, William Newell said this, and I wholeheartedly agree. He said, "What is written here, every believer should commit to memory, for it states what no mind of fallen man ever imagined." No fallen man ever imagined that salvation would be given to him who does not work. As we've already pointed out, all of the religious systems of the world have salvation going to him who does work. But you see, this is where biblical Christianity, I'm emphasizing that again, biblical, right out of the pages of the Bible. This is what the Bible says. Justification is for those who do not work. And let me remind you of how many times this is stated in the scriptures. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, familiar passage to many of us. Let me read it again. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Again, could there be a clearer statement than that? By grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Again. But then Paul writing to Titus in the third chapter, the fourth and fifth verses, he said, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." So it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. So you see, these are the clear statements of Scripture. How could it be possible that the church, for so many centuries even, could have completely missed this message? This is the primary message of the New Testament. How could it have been missed so radically? Well, it was missed because they just turned away from the Bible itself. Tradition took precedence over the Scriptures. Church dogma took precedence over the Scripture. The catechisms and the councils, all of that took precedence over the Scriptures. And so for centuries, nobody knew the simple truth of salvation by grace alone through faith alone. Now, like I said before, it doesn't mean that people weren't saved at that time. There were those that had just enough information and trust in the Lord, but to understand these doctrines and to be blessed and benefited by them, to live free from the guilt of sin, to live free from condemnation, to live with the joy of the Lord because God has saved you, because he's good. So many people, sadly, for so many centuries, were deprived of that because they did not have access to the Scriptures. The Scriptures had been taken from them and basically hidden away. So, the justified man is ungodly. The justified man does not work. The justified man believes on him. So this is how it happens. How does it happen? It happens by belief.
For the month of November, Back to Basics Radio is offering the story of David and Goliath, a children's book and audio CD by the late Pastor Chuck Smith, the founder of the Calvary Chapel movement. It's never too early to start reading to your children timeless Bible stories taught by Chuck Smith. Listen and read along as Pastor Chuck unfolds the story of David and Goliath and allows kids to discover how God used David to defeat a big, scary giant named Goliath. See why David trusted the Lord with all his heart and won the battle for Israel, though the circumstances seemed impossible. Now you can use this book and CD to teach your children the godly lessons on how to trust in the Lord and to be used by Him. Imprint God's Word on their little hearts as you read and listen to this story over and over again. we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this timeless Bible story as told by Pastor Chuck. For a donation of any size to Back to Basics, we will send you this month's book, David and Goliath. You'll find this book and all of our other resources waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.